From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us today. This is Alan Cairns with you once again to continue to let the Bible speak on the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, particularly looking at how He, by the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom, took Galilee by the power of the Spirit of God. So we invite you to stay with us as we turn once again to that passage in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. First, however, our hot topic for today, the charismatic brainwashing of kids. Just when you thought you'd seen or heard it all, along comes some new twist in the charismatic chicanery. We have long had the prosperity gospel. We have been treated to the laughing revival. We have become used to rock groups and the dance troupes, all supposed to be part of the Holy Spirit's latter-day army to prepare the world for Christ's return. Now we have a specialized kids ministry with extreme prophetic conferences, as they're called, for kids. In Lee Summit, Missouri, Becky Fisher leads this quirky phenomenon and trains children, some as young as 5 years old, in using their spiritual gifts, including speaking in tongues, healing, prophesying, giving words of knowledge, and words of wisdom. In fact, the entire charismatic package. She teaches the kids about prophetic dance and prophetic art, as well as such things as how to let the Lord speak through them, and how to interpret dreams and visions. She tells the kids the meaning of any animals they may see in their dreams and visions. For example, a bat is bad and speaks of witchcraft, while a beaver is good and speaks of industrious activity. So the kids learn, or as some believe, are brainwashed, and then act out their newly acquired skills in public meetings. The charge of brainwashing is understandable. All this takes place to the accompaniment of carefully chosen music, to which the children rhythmically dance and sway. They often give prophecies. That surprise and even shock. While most of the usual charismatic mishmash of generalizations, some appear to be highly specific, identifying someone allegedly unknown to the young prophet and conveying some word of encouragement or instruction. The kids take it for granted that they're hearing and repeating the voice of God. But are they? Beyond the usual hysteria, are they pawns in a dangerous mind game? Are they being brainwashed? Are they being introduced to occult powers and experiences? These are serious questions. To deal with children who have not even been well taught in the rudiments of the faith of Christ conforms to no scriptural pattern. It is charismatism run wild. Fisher claims that some of her child prophets prophesied the tragedy of 9/11, 3 years before it happened. Here's what she claims one prophecy said, and I quote, "Islamic group, the chief guy in the Islamic group of terrorists, not pacifists, but destroyers. CIA reveal. Islamic group. Blinders remove. CIA. UC reveal. Borders. Border patrols. Canada. Raids. Search. All USA borders. Patrols. Search. Get ready. C. Reveal. American 757, 767. Get off. Back to the gate. You're grounded. Saddam. Underground in Babylon. Blueprints, drawings, plans, plagues, viruses. God disgusted by terrorists. but his hands are tied. It's up to us to pray. Wake up from your slumber. You'll be held accountable. Close the quote. Those are some of the prophecies supposedly given by the children. It all sounds impressive. We have no way of checking her claim, but we have a way of checking the source. You can be sure that it was not the God of the Bible who sent the message, "His hands are tied." That's a lie. And no lie is of the truth. Here we discern not the voice of God, but the hiss of the serpent. Becky Fisher may or may not be sincere. That's beside the point, which is that she's presenting as the work of God something that bears the stamp of the devil.
To time here on Let the Bible Speak, I have mentioned a useful little tool that we have produced to help Christians with their Bible study. Now, any pastor will tell you that one of the most frequently made requests that he receives from people is for help in studying the Bible. Another very frequent request is for help in establishing a real prayer life. In fact, most Christians will confess that for them, these are the two most important and yet most difficult aspects of the Christian life. Bible study and prayer must always go together. Solid Bible study will be an immeasurable help to your prayer life. With that in mind, we have produced a pamphlet titled The Ten Commandments of Bible Study. Now, they're not really commandments, more guidelines to tell you how to read and get the most out of the Bible, chapter by chapter. When you follow these guidelines, you will have a body of material from each chapter that will form the basis for your approach to God. Let me give you an example. The very first thing to look for in every chapter you read in the Bible is, what does it teach me about God? Look carefully and write down the results. Then as you come to pray, you approach God. You worship and praise Him, not in mere
trite or empty phrases, but as you have just found him in his word. In this way, your praying is linked to your Bible study, and it's always fresh. The same holds good throughout all 10 guidelines. So I highly recommend that you write or call us and ask for your free copy of the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. It's yours for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you, and we'd be happy to send you the 10 Commandments of Bible Study. And I trust that you will find it an answer to prayer and the best means that you have yet discovered to help you in the study of the Word and in the private place of prayer.
Now return to our study of Christ taking Galilee by the power of the Spirit. We've been emphasizing the message that he preached, the gospel of the kingdom. And today we make the point again and bring it home to the conscience that where Jesus is, the kingdom is. And therefore, every man, woman and child among us should ensure that we repent and bow before the King, the only way whereby we can ever enter into the righteousness, the joy, and the peace that he gives to the subjects of his saving grace. So let's return now to God's Word.
Where Jesus is, the kingdom is. That's what he's saying. Where Jesus is, the kingdom is. He says, I've come to preach the gospel of the kingdom. A message that proclaimed his person, prophet, priest, and king. That's still the message. Men and women, I want you to understand that. The message has never altered. The message of the gospel is preeminently a message about the person of Jesus Christ. He is the eternal Son of God, become man, to be our prophet, to make known unto us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation. Jesus is the prophet proclaiming the message, which is himself. That's where he differs from every other prophet. Jesus is not only the one who brings the word, he is the word. He not only gives the message, he is the message. Christ is the good news. Christ has come. It's a message about his person. I want you to understand that. I get so grieved when people present the gospel as a plan. Now, there is a plan in the gospel, but you're never saved by a plan. There's no power in learning a plan. The gospel is a person. Jesus, the Son of the living God, the Christ of God, the Anointed of God, the Savior of sinners, the Priest King, the priest to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself and the shedding of his blood, the King to administer grace to the needy, to subdue their iniquities and bring them to submission to himself. Oh, that's the gospel of the person. As I've preached already, this message proclaims his power. He exercised that fullness of divine supremacy in the interest of divine glory. I think of Isaiah's words, quoting the Lord Jehovah, "I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgressions." Why? For mine own sake. The exercise of grace is for glory. The exercise of divine sovereignty is for God's glory. The exercise of Christ's supremacy is for God's glory. That's why he saves us, to glorify him. And all that exercise of mighty power, of a divine supreme sway over men and over devils, is a glorious and kingly thing. This is what gives me confidence for the ministry of the church. You always hear, you know, that the church age is almost over, that God has finished with the church. That sort of garbage has been going around for decades and even for over a century now. We've got to come up with something new. It's not a church. You want to make church look anything like anything but church. There are people who turn their church on a Saturday evening to make it look like a bar. They bring in bar stools. They sit around sipping soft drinks in a bar-like atmosphere with bar-like music and all the rest of it. Anything to stop it looking like church. Behind it all is this notion of we've got to be relevant to the modern man, and really the old church age is over. Absolute rubbish. The church has yet to see its greatest days. Let me make that clear to you. Church of Christ has its greatest victories yet before it. Christ is the King, and he's preaching his power and his purpose to bring sinners to righteousness. Now, there's a big subject. I should sit down now and let Mark Allison come and preach for a while, for we're on his favourite ground. To preach to sinners and bring them into righteousness. To constitute the guilty as righteous in the sight of God by imputing to them the very righteousness of Christ and his obedience. And then to enable them to live a sanctified life in a righteous submission to him who saved them. You know, the Lord is doing that. Every Christian here this morning, what is he? Have a good look in the mirror. See what you are. You know, all you are is a bundle of corruption. I was just thinking of this in my study this morning. Isaiah chapter 1 is often quoted as a proof text for depravity, from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot. There's no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been mollified and are bound up. That's true. That's depravity. But that's not what Isaiah intended to teach. It wasn't depravity. Oh, that's understood. But what he's really teaching is stubbornness, impenitence. He's saying God has whipped you. God has wounded you. God has used circumstances to hurt you. He has spoken to you. He has called to you. He has chastened you. He has left you from head to toe with the marks of divine chastening to bring you to repentance, and you will not repent. That's stubbornness, impenitence. So we've got depravity, and we've got stubborn impenitence. And yet these are the very people that King Jesus has subdued and brought to righteousness and peace. Are you saved? Are you saved? Have you been brought out of your sin to be clothed with the righteous merit of Christ? Have you been brought out of your stubborn rebellion to live in a righteous submission to Christ, your King? Have you been brought out of the turmoil of your sin into the peace of believing? Is that your testimony? If not, you need to be saved. And I want to introduce you to the person who can do it, even Christ the King. How can you be saved? He gives what we could call a prescript here, a command, an order for life. Matthew tells us that he went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did that entail? Mark says in chapter 1, verse 15, that he preached, "Repent ye and believe the gospel." How can you be saved? Are you a sinner? Then repent. Do you give up all hope in yourself? Recognizing Christ as the Son of God and the Savior who died and rose again and is mighty to save. Then believe the gospel. Repent and believe. And you'll enter the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom is life forevermore, as Matthew 19, 16 and 23 make clear. Life, life, eternal life. Jesus alone is the giver. Life, life, abundant life. Glory to Jesus forever. Now I've got through 1/4 of what I had intended to preach, so you'll see that time has not changed me. We're looking at Christ taking Galilee by storm by the power of the Holy Spirit. But you know, that's history. What I want to know this morning is that he has taken your heart by storm by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to know that you have bowed the knee to crown him King of your life. May God grant it. If you're not saved, don't leave that way. Do not leave until on bended knee you have submitted to Christ. Then you will know that righteousness, that peace, and that joy in the Holy Ghost. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray. Father, we thank Thee for our dear Redeemer. We bless Thee for the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and of God. We praise Thee for that gracious kingdom of salvation that overcomes the empire of evil, the dominion of Satan. Lord, we thank Thee that the King is coming, and we look forward to His return. Thank you, Lord, He's not coming in order simply to become a king, but He's coming because He is the King. And oh, we would welcome His approach. Father, speak to every heart. Give fruit for the preaching of the Word of God, and grant that this Sabbath day the lost will be won by the power of our God, and that the saints will be revived and stirred and encouraged and blessed as the Spirit would apply the Word to the heart. Hear our prayer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.